0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Will you remind us, because we have a large file upstairs of letters and communication we get in, but for various reasons, we aren't able to get them on air on that particular day. And the reason, I might as well tell you, Siobhan, to be brutally honest, at our meeting, the reason we decided that we wouldn't do your item that day was because you said, I know this is a one in a billion chance of finding its way back to me. And when we said, what hope have we got? What happened, Siobhan?
So I was travelling out at a Dublin airport on the 4th of August with my daughter.
Yeah.
Sorry, what am I talking about? Sorry. And
take your time.
You know, we were flying out like a 5:45 that evening, and we left the house, and you know, I was kind of in a bit of a hurry,
yeah,
getting things ready, thinking about the queues at the airport. So
yeah, yeah.
I took my tree rings, which I've always worn. At the, you know, I've a lot of rings, but there's tree rings I always wear: my wedding ring, my engagement ring, and a dress ring.
Yeah.
And being the day it was, I was a bit warm. The age I am, I was a bit sweating, so I shoved my rings into my purse, into a pouch of my purse.
Okay.
And I got to the airport, and I said, oh, I'll put them on later when I've settled down a bit. My daughter and I went through Terminal 1 that day, and we were flying out with Ryanair to Salou. And when we landed in Salou, sorry.
Take your time.
Sorry.
How long? I'll ask you a few questions. How long,
yeah,
how long have you had the rings?
25 years.
And where did you buy them?
I bought it in, you know, the McDowell Happy Ring House on the Cone Street.
Like opposite the GPO.
Yeah. It was just one of those things years ago. I used to go shop with my mom in town, like when I was younger.
So you're in the airport. You're hassled like everyone is in the airport these days, to no fault of anybody. You think you were near gate 116, the bar.
Yeah.
And you recall, which is probably been very smart on your part, that this is when it happened, because you opened your purse.
Yeah, I was like flustering that time as well, because when I opened my purse to pay for coffees, whatever, I thought my bank card was missing.
Okay.
So I there was a queue behind me waiting, obviously, to get served, and I was panicking, like, God, where's my bank card? And I was looking really hard in my purse. So when I landed in Salou that evening and I went to put my rings on me, and when that engagement ring was missing, I was like, holy God. And then, I don't know, like, you know, I'd been to a duty-free, I'd been to Burger King with my daughter, but that's, I don't know why, for some reason I'm thinking, was it around gate 116 where that cafe bar is, that it might have fallen out?
And this was on August the 4th?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've checked with Lost Property. Did you check on the plane itself?
Yeah, we did. So immediately when, you know, it was just about that the plane was about to land, and I opened my purse and I said to my daughter, oh God, the rings, my gauge ring's not here.
Yeah.
And so when the plane landed, we waited for everybody to get off the plane, and my daughter and I were down on our hands and knees, and we were crawling around just making sure that it wasn't there, but we couldn't see anywhere.
Okay. And it's you sent us in a photograph. It's quite a distinctive ring, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a gold ring with a diamante.
Yeah.
Look, it's not by any means of huge value. It's more sentimental value, that, as I said, I know it's like looking for, you know, a pin in a haystack. But sometimes, you know, when I got to Spain that evening, I think I emailed your show, and the next day a very kind lady rang me. And sometimes, you know, social media can be a good or a bad thing, you know, and help you to maybe get things back.
Okay, now you plan to pass this ring on to your daughter.
Yeah,
that's a plan. Yeah, sentimental.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, I was saying to your colleague this morning, you know, I still have the little ring box, the McDonald's Happy Ring box. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that, as I was saying this morning, something's been consistent in my life for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And then it's just, I don't know, it's kind of a strange feeling when you lose it. It's like, you know, kind of losing a little person or something. Yeah, it's strange.
Now, would you believe, Siobhan, that yesterday we got a phone call from a man called Joseph Holden? Joe, you there, Joe?
Okay.
Talk to Joe. Where is Joe?
How are you?
Jo, how are you?
Hi.
Now, this is your one in a million man. Jo Holden, okay. Why did you contact Liveline yesterday?
Because, Jo, I was travelling to Palermo on the 4th of August.
Okay.
And I was going through Terminal 1.
Yeah.
Between 4 and 5 o'clock.
Right.
And I came upon this lovely little solitaire ring. And I decided not to hand it up to security, and it just felt a bit awkward.
Okay.
So I said I'd hold on to it, and being the son of an ex-guard,
yeah,
I did my own research when I got back from holidays.
Well done.
So I'm back now, and I phoned your show yesterday.
Yeah.
And there you go.
And you've sent us in a photograph of the ring.
I did.
And Siobhan, it's the same ring. Yes.
I don't believe that. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Oh my God. That is.
Well, unless.
Oh God, I can't believe it. I'm so happy.
Well, unless there was another ring lost. But it's. I'm looking at the. You sent us in a black and white photograph. I'm looking at a colour photograph from Joseph. And it's the same shape, the diamond in the middle and the two.
Oh my God.
The two gold wrappings around it, like almost two arms, so to speak.
Yeah, that's it.
And
yeah,
then
it's, yeah.
There's a blue. Now, this could be the flash in the camera, but there's a blue reflection coming up off the diamond, so to speak. Do you think that's it?
Yeah. Sometimes, depending on which way the light shines on it, there is. Oh my God, I can't believe that you have it.
Talk about one in a million. Joe,
it was one in a billion chances. Yeah.
Joe,
it's so small.
Joe, where did you find it again?
Well, as I say, Joe, I was going through Terminal 1 at 4 o'clock on the 4th of August, and I was going up to get a drink for myself and my wife, and it was just on the counter where you pay the barman.
Oh my God!
And I was excited to look after it myself for the few weeks that I was away on the basis of.
Well done. Well
I'd hopefully find the owner when we come back from holidays.
Okay, because Siobhan, what happened was as you thought. You were foostering in your purse.
Yeah.
You had taken off your rings because you were hot and bothered for various reasons. So all these incidents conspired against you. You put the rings in your purse, you're up at the queue, it's a long queue, you take out your card, you can't find your card, you're foostering a bit, and then the ring pops out and you're looking behind it because people are in a queue, and you get your coffee and your daughter says, when are we going to Burger King? And off you went, and then you're on the plane, you realise the...
Yeah,
But for this man...
Yes.
Joseph, have you found stuff before, Joe?
No, I wouldn't. I can't say I have found anything as so sentimental value to somebody else at this stage. So,
thank you so much.
It just goes to show you there's still some goodness in the world.
Yeah.
No, I know. I know, and that's what my friends were saying. They were saying, look, you know, there are good people out there, you know, and you might find it. And I kept saying, I know, but did you give up?
It's now 21 days later, Siobhan. It's 3 weeks, but that's incredible what you did, Joe.
Yeah,
really
thank
is incredible.
You so much.
Joe, I don't want your address. What part of the country are you in?
I'm from the same part as yourself, Joe. I live in Clontarf.
Oh, good man.
Not too far away from you.
And Siobhan, where are you based?
I'm just out near Ashbourne, so kind of, on the border, yeah.
So we need to get the ring back to you ASAP.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much for minding it and like, you know... Looking for the owner. Thank you so much.
And Joe, I wish you nothing but good luck and good karma.
Thank you very much.
It's a lovely thing you've done. And contacting us. Little did you know when you contacted us. We have a file here. Then someone, one, I think it was Lisa Marie upstairs, said, hang on a minute, don't we have, go back a few weeks. Because Lisa Marie is here all the time. She never takes holidays. And she found the letter saying, hang on, I think that might be the same.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable.
So we have our own Miss Marple here on the programme, I hasten to add. I know, Joe, you're the son of a guard. But anyway, Siobhan, it's back to you. We'll be back to you hopefully this afternoon. We'll see how we can get it back to Ashbourne. And Joe, thanks. How did your holiday go, Joe?
Very well, thank you very much. We had a lovely wedding in Claremarrow. So we had a great time. Thanks, Joe.
Right. And Siobhan, how did your little break go?
Yeah, it was lovely, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I settled down after a few days and just put it to the back of my mind. Yeah.
Okay, well done.
And thank you, everybody.
Tell your daughter she will be getting the ring in due course.
Yes.
When she.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks indeed, Siobhan, and thanks indeed, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you both.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Well done, Balti.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Okay, but people have been contacting us in big numbers this morning about Robert Troy, and a number of people who've been contacting us were very taken by his paragraph in his resignation statement. You know, Robert Troy, the junior minister, he was accused primarily by the media, and then the opposition chimed in, saying he hadn't fully declared his properties that he owned and rented out. But he said, well, I accept my mistakes. I would like to state that the narrative being put forward by some media and some of the opposition that landlords are villains is simply wrong. I'm acutely aware of the sensitivities of the housing situation in Ireland, and on a continuous basis work to assist constituents address their housing needs. But vilifying landlords is not my answer. I personally will not apologise for being a landlord. I bought my first house at the age of 20 as I went straight into a job after school. And so I was in a position to purchase my first property then, I presume with a mortgage. I'm not a person of privilege and have not been brought up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I have worked for all I have. Now, there's a lot to read into that statement about who led the charge against them and the doll and where they were educated, etc., etc. But anyway, people have contacted us spontaneously. Maria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thank you for having me on your show.
And what do you think about what Robert Troy has said? Very unpopular thing to say in the Ireland of today. I am. The narrative being put forward is that landlords are villains. You agree that that's what's happening?
I'm on the same page, yes, absolutely.
Okay, how long have you been?
I've been a landlord for in excess of 36 years, I would say maybe 40 at this stage. I have 40 tenants, not properties, tenants in varying situations.
Okay.
And I have seen a huge change in the landscape of rental since I started back in the 80s. And unfortunately, I bought a lot of them in 2005. Which I'm still in negative equity as a result of buying in the Celtic Tiger era. I've done sort of 16, 17 years of financial hardship, and I have started to sell as I'm very disillusioned with the way we landlords are being treated. I'm supporting very large bank loans, which I have subsidised from personal money over the years, and I've just started to put the first few on the market to sell because it really is becoming a charity at this stage. I could name 8 reasons why we are crippled as landlords. I pay 52% tax on all my rental income before I pay my mortgages.
Okay.
I pay USC and RSI on all my rental income.
Okay.
LPT on all my properties.
Property tax, yeah.
Yes. Not allowed to charge tenants for creating their own rubbish, which I think should be the responsibility of everybody in the state to pay their own rubbish. A cap of 2% on all rentals. Losing 1 to 2 months rentals on apartments due to the payment of service charges.
Okay.
A yearly cost of €190 to gas companies to maintain boilers if the properties have gas.
Yeah.
And then all properties to be insured.
50% tax and all. Are you allowed write off any?
52%.
52%.
Very little. Fixtures and fittings vary. For instance, a socket in the wall is tax deductible. The plug that you plug into it isn't.
Okay.
No, it's down to those nitty gritties in rental income. It really is a mug's game. And I have seen it change over the last 40 years.
And have you had difficult tenants?
Most of my tenants are quite good. I've had difficulty, yes, of course. In 40 years, you're bound to have difficulty.
And such as?
Absolutely wrecked properties, wrecked them, you know, to the point that you may have to put 10 grand into it to get it back in.
And if any comeback if someone does?
No, absolutely not, no. They just leave.
And when you say wrecked them, what do you mean?
I mean, all the legs broken off the beds, the kitchen table, which was wooden, used for firewood. I saw one piece of it sticking out of the fire when I went to do the inspection. They were gone. But the table was on the floor, the actual tabletop, but the legs were in the fire. Yeah, I don't know even how people think up some of the things they do. It's just appalling. But overall, tenants are good.
Okay.
I have to say that they are good.
And do you think you've been a good, you call yourself a landlord, do you think you've been a good landlord generally?
I would think so, yeah. I would say I'm a good landlord. I have had no difficulty with tenants really on a one-to-one basis, except that some of them aren't the tidiest people and don't really know how to respect it as a home. But no, overall, pretty good, yeah.
And why did you get into this end of the property market?
Well, I started 40 years ago.
Okay.
I'm married to a small builder and it was just the way we were.
Ah, okay, you could, yeah.
And it's what a lot of people did back in those days when you couldn't maintain themselves, which we do. We luckily that he can maintain.
Well done. And is this your pension?
This is my income and this is my pension.
Okay,
I have pension.
That's...
Yeah, this is why we did it, to sort of ensure a secure future in our dotage, which we're about to come to.
Okay, sure.
So that's where we're about to sell, yeah. You know.
You said, but, you say at the end, myself and my husband do not have private pensions. That's why we entered a residential rental market instead. But alas, we might as well have gone to a casino. What do you mean?
Well, our punt is not going to give much results. If I went to sell everything, it would take me about a year and a half now to get people out, to put them in order, to put them in proper shape. But, Mr. Okay. Troy, you know, I can understand. Also, I only found out yesterday that since June 22, when I went to the solicitor, that we now have to send the same declaration and the same notice of tenancy termination to RTB. But that's, I didn't know that. The solicitor just pointed it to me out yesterday. So if I went ahead and did this myself, I wouldn't have told RTB. So regulations are constantly changing and we really aren't informed or to keep up with it.
And how much do you pay to the RTB every year?
Not every year. No, you pay 90 and it lasts about 3 to 4 years, I think, something like that. But that changed this year as well. Now we have to register every tenant every year at 40 euro. That's new. That only came out in 2022.
And what do you get for that from the RTB?
Nothing. Oh, yes. I called the RTB on when I realised that the case had worked against me. I wanted to know... Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. They sent the notice, the letter of their determination to an incorrect address. It was an address, but the address was the same, but you had to put rear in front of it because it's a Muse house at the back of a house. They didn't. They put the particular address on it. It went to that house by default. I was in there, found it 4 days later, which was yesterday. That was incorrect. A lot of incorrect information on it. Sorry, Joe, I've lost my train of thought. Did you ask? What was the question?
What do you get from the RTB?
Oh, well, as far as I'm concerned, nothing. Oh, yes, I called them. In that time, I was getting frustrated, so I called the RTB. I spent 47 minutes on the phone the other day waiting for them to answer. To get to disputes, press 3. To get to registration, press 2. I pressed 3. 47 minutes later, a gentleman answered me, very nice gentleman, and he said, oh, I'm registration. I said, can you put me through to the particular person, my case manager, in disputes? I'll try. 10 minutes later, he came back. I can't do that. In fact, I can't transfer you at all. The facility is not here to transfer. So I said, you can't even get a message to him? No. And what I wanted was to know, had there a determination been made on the case? Little did I know that there had been, and that was in an incorrect address sitting on a hall table.
Okay. But the fact of the matter is, the RTB is a state agency, a state quangle. It's like the National Transport Authority, whatever we heard in the 1 o'clock going on about taxi fares, as if we're the cheapest taxi fares in Europe when we're actually the dearest. But that's neither here nor there. But they have got legal enforcement.
Yes, indeed.
They have got the power of law behind them.
Yes, it is legally binding. All decisions are legally binding.
Stay there, Maria. By the way, what do you think of what I never remembered? It's complicated around Robert Troy because people said he should have declared as a TD, especially when he was discussing these issues in the Dáil. But what do you think of what Robert Troy said about the narrative being put forward by some media and some of the opposition that landlords are villains is simply wrong?
I would agree with them from the point of view of that probably most people look at us as kind of fat cats,
yeah.
You know, That's the kind of word I would use, and that we are suspect and we are all breaking the law and we're all not doing what we're expected to do. I do everything I'm expected to do because of the trouble that would
and
bring down the road
to me. There's no obligation on anyone to rent out a property.
No,
there's
indeed.
No obligation. And from what you're saying, there's no incentive, but there must be because so many were doing it. I know there's an exodus.
I suppose my biggest one is because I have debt is the 52% tax on all the rental income. Back, the government gave, whenever it was, I can't remember, Section 23, which was a tax break to landlords to buy properties and gave you, I think it was about 10 years. I think it went from maybe 2002 to about 2012. I could be corrected on that one. I don't know what the thing was. But that, they never phased it out. They cut it dead. And I think that's there's a huge knock on.
Okay, there's other people want to come in on this. Thank you, Maria. Stay there. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Catherine, do you believe what Robert Troy said, that landlords are being portrayed as villains?
I do, but I have to qualify that because some landlords are villains to this day, but the majority of them are not.
Okay, that's very fair. Yeah, okay. What's your own situation?
My own situation is that I am the PPR, that's rent a private residence, I'm renting out two rooms in my house, and I don't have any problem with tenants.
Okay, great.
And I have been renting out on and off since 2001.
And is this the students or it doesn't matter who you rent? Yeah.
Well, mainly students, but sometimes people stay on, when they start
afterwards,
working.
Okay, and you're still allowed that tax exemption once the income is under 14,000 a year?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, but if you had three rooms in your house and the rental came to more than 14,000, that doesn't apply, sure it doesn't?
I think not, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I haven't had time to check it. Who would want to rent out? Maybe the situation might arise in somewhere like Dublin. More than three rooms.
Exactly. So what's your point about the scheme as it now operates? Do you think that threshold should be increased?
No, I don't. I think there are many people in this country earning only 14,000 a year. And they have to go out and work maybe 40 hours a week for it. So I think it's a very good exemption.
But you say more needs to be done for landlords and people renting.
I'm talking about what
needs to be done?
People who are non-residential landlords. I think they should be given a certain amount of tax breaks.
Okay.
You know, in the year, if they have a capital expense, they can only claim 12.5% per year on it.
Okay.
So I think they should be given, and maybe some of the issues with regard to the to vacate their property, that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, well, that's getting harder and harder from the landlord's point of view, and the proposals from the opposition, if the main opposition party get into power, are even more stricter in terms of being able to sell your property. Helen, good afternoon. Hello,
Joe. How are you?
Helen, you agree, you say, that landlords are being villainised. Why?
Because it's all in favour for the tenants at the moment. Yeah, we have no rights, basically, in my opinion.
And are you renting out a property?
Yeah, I was in a position where I rented out my home.
Helen, the line is dreadful for some reason. We will sort it out in a sec. Don't worry. Martin, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
What's your situation, Martin?
Joe, I'm 43 years of age, bred, born and reared in the country, and I'm back living at home with my parents after about 13 years away. Well, I say away, out of the family home, but I've been renting for many years.
And how you couldn't make the full rent, basically, I presume?
Well, I could up until COVID. COVID kicked in March 2020.
Okay.
I missed out on the PUP payments by no fault of my own. I missed about 5 or 6 weeks. It was a administration error.
Okay.
And the the arrears built up, and I tried to deal with the landlord every which way possible, but they would not entertain any suggestion I made.
Okay, we're hearing it from both ends now. Just stay with us, Martin. It's an awful situation. Hugh Morris is an estate agent who contacted us. Hugh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And you say, but this is stating the obvious. It's no reflection on you, by the way, Hugh. Estate agent, things have never been so bad.
Yeah, Joe, what we're seeing in my offices is that about 60% of all second-hand homes at the moment going to the open market for sale are landlord-owned properties that were formerly in tenancies. On the other side of that, with new homes and properties for sale, there is no newcomers, new landlords coming into the market to buy those properties, apart from large pension funds, and they're the only ones in a position to, I suppose, be profitable in the marketplace. And that's not how Ireland was founded and how the property market has run since the foundation of the state. Yeah. We've always had self-employed people that own properties, and they used it as part of an income,
like Maria,
or as a pension.
Well, for Maria and her husband, it was both.
Yes.
That was her way. She explained they bought, they haven't got 40 properties, but they have 40 tenants in various properties.
And the other balance too, Joe, is that we're seeing towns and counties within the Greater Dublin area and Galway and city areas with derelict property in these towns and space available to renovate. There had been a Section 23 previously in the last boom back in 2004. And schemes like that have to be brought back
explain Section 23 again to people.
So Section 23 was basically a tax allowance for 10 years on all income coming in rental income on a property over 10 years if you invested that money, for the amount of money you've invested into that property to bring it into habitation.
Yeah. Okay. So there was an incentive.
There was an incentive.
And when you clients coming in, Hugh, are you coming across people who were landlords, just for clarity, renting out houses, saying we're selling?
Yes. About 60% of all the second-hand properties that we are selling through our offices are former landlords.
And why are they selling? Insofar as there's at this time,
several reasons. There's several reasons. Realistically, it is a non-profitable exercise being a landlord.
Okay, and are they worried about what's coming down the line?
There's certainly a fear that there might be further laws and legislation brought in to take away the constitutional right of owning a property.
Well, there's no talk of that, is there?
There is a feeling in the marketplace that owners of property are losing their rights. So property ownership rights are being restricted, overly so.
Okay. Is Helen back on now? Helen, you're selling. You have a property, but you're going to sell it after only 3 years. Why?
I just couldn't feel comfortable with being a landlord. I just think there was so much work in it. There was so much damage to the house. I was in a position where I took in half tenants, and there is a problem. I ran into problems there.
And what are the problems?
With the rent. If the tenant doesn't pay their portion to HAP, HAP stop paying the rent.
Oh, I know that. I know. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Keep talking. Yeah.
So basically, if they get tenants in, and I did think I was doing a good thing, you know, housing people who needed to be housed. When I did take them in, then they stopped paying HAP. So HAP just stopped paying you. So you get a pink slip in the post, and they say they won't pay you until the tenant pays them their part. But the tenant, you're not in a position to put them under pressure to pay because they're not paying you the rent. So it goes around in a circle, basically.
So you're caught in the middle.
Yeah, caught in the middle, yeah. But in the meantime, half still have the tenant in rental accommodation, but they don't pay you. I don't see why they couldn't pay you the part that they're supposed to pay you and just take away the rest of it, but they don't pay you anything.
Yeah. That was my
problem. So although I had tenants who just didn't pay half, I had to say to them, you must pay your part to half, but they didn't.
And invariably, and I know HAP is a fine and honourable scheme and we have to help people, but invariably the amount that the tenant pays is much less than the amount that the local council will pay, much less than the HAP.
Much less. It's probably, it could be only amount to 10%. I don't know, because with GBRT, HAP won't discuss that with you, which is only because it's their business. But if you ring HAP and say, how much do they owe? How long do they owe the money for? They won't actually give you that information because they can't.
Okay. Is that the main reason you're getting out?
Well, mainly because I wasn't getting my rent and there was damage done to the property. One day I went down and they took the top, the protection things off the cooker and brought them outside to make a barbecue.
Oh, God.
They wanted a barbecue outside. So the top of the cooker was then used for a barbecue.
The metal ring, so to speak, where the pots sit on.
Not the actual rings, the square things that sit on top of that.
Yes, I know what you mean. And they use, it's kind of a grate almost. They use that. And they built a fire. They built a fire underneath it in the back garden.
Yeah, because they wanted a barbecue. So the cooker. You really can't go out and buy parts like that, to be very honest. You know, it just doesn't work. Then they say, well, my cooker's not working. anyway, other than that, I feel the tax is just far too much. You know, it wasn't worth my while. So I'm selling.
Okay, well, that's clear.
Thanks. I just think it's between HAP and the tenants and then in lockdown because they... We weren't allowed to evict people, which is only fair because, people couldn't go anywhere and couldn't look for new places. But I feel that some of the tenants got to realise that, you couldn't evict them. So they stopped paying HAP.
David, thanks, Helen. David is going to reiterate what you're saying. David, you're a landlord as well. What do you think of what Robert Troy said? Landlords have been villainised.
No, I in my situation, I think that landlords are the protection provided by RTB is actually very, very, very little for landlords. It looks to me as if it's all on the side of the tenant. My situation is that I have a tenant who just stopped paying in April. I followed the procedure on the RTB. I issued a warning notice, followed by an eviction notice. The tenant still didn't leave the property, still not paying rent. So I'm back to the RTB and I applied for an adjudication, which took me 3 months for them to actually schedule it. I put them under a lot of pressure, saying I need to get this done, I have to pay a mortgage on the property.
Okay.
And so 3 months it took, and eventually I've got a date for that eviction, for that adjudication. So what they're going to do is examine my evidence I supply based on it, on what my communication with the tenant and the letters I've written and the dates and all that. And they will examine my evidence and interview both of us, the tenant and myself, on a video call. So what happens then is that the adjudicator will decide who was right, am I right or is the defendant right? And that could take, I don't know, maybe a month or I don't know what length of time that will take.
Okay.
Then at that point, still can't remove the tenant from the property because I don't have a right. I will have to go to court. If the tenant refuses to leave, I'll still have to go to court then. I don't know how long that will take. That process will take with the courts. So in the meantime, I have to pay for the mortgage myself. I can't get any rent from the tenant. It just seems like if the situation was that if there was better protection and the government was to say, or the RTB was to just to ask the tenant immediately at the point where he stopped paying the rent, why you're not paying it? Are you sick? Are you out of work? In that case, then half of one of those systems could step in and pay the rent. So I could then afford to pay the mortgage. But there should be, in my opinion, a fast track there saying if the tenant is not willing to pay the rent anymore for no good reason, then please just leave the property. You know, give them a month or whatever they need, but just, can you just leave and then we get a tenant in that will pay the rent.
Okay.
Difficult situation, you know. And I've talked to a lot of people about this, a lot of other landlords, and they've seen the same issues. But, you know, landlords buy a property, say one property for their pension, future pension fund, but they just can't handle the pressure, the difficulties then. You know, there may be only a few tenants that are doing this, but I mean, a tenant that gets wise to the system that it could be in the property for, you know, how long, I don't know, maybe a year without paying rent. You know, that's the way I see the RTB operating at the moment.
I'm just reading a tweet from a representative of the Labour Party, which has been handed to me. Had to turn off live line, it's turning my stomach. The reason landlords need to sign a declaration with a commissioner of oaths when selling a property is because most of them are dishonest and boot out tenants frequently to relet the property at higher rents. What do you think about what the Labour Party thinks of you, David?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Are most landlords dishonest and boot out tenants frequently to relet the property with higher rents?
I don't, not that I'm aware of, but you know, maybe this is going on somewhere. But I mean, the system should be fairer to landlords. And if a situation like this arises where we can't pay the mortgage, tenants not paying any rent anymore, what's the option?
What about the argument that's put forward? And you decide you have the asset, and this is for Maria as well. You have the asset. I know you bought, Maria said, I bought the asset. I had one of them for 275. 17 years later, I sold it for 176. But you still had it, Maria, 17 years later. You still had the asset and you were able to get income from it over that 17 years.
Still with the debt on it, Joe.
Okay.
It's a 20-year loan.
Okay. Back after this break. 0818 715815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. People are coming in off the back of what Robert Troy's. Now, Robert, the Robert Troy situation is complicated to say the least, and the fact that he's a public representative, and the fact that he spoke about legislation, and the fact that he was a junior minister in charge of company governance, all dovetailed into the situation he finds himself in. And then a number of people saying, oh, it's a silly season. I don't accept that for 1 minute. It's never a silly season in Ireland when we have wars going on. It's not a silly season. There's no shortage of news. And that Robert Troy said, the narrative being put forward by some media, some of the opposition, that landlords are villains is simply wrong. Georgina, good afternoon. You have no sympathy for Robert Troy, but go ahead on the general
hello,
issue
Joe.
As well. Yeah.
Yes, good afternoon. No, I mean, I'm ringing really in relation to the whole view about landlords and tenants and the RTB. In relation to Robert Troy, in my view, most landlords would know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and if they don't do something, and particularly if they're in a position in government, they should know exactly what they're supposed to do. So, but that's not why I'm ringing here. It's because I'm hearing people talking, landlords like myself, who are, I suppose, what you used to call, or people call accidental landlords. Mm-hmm. They might have one or two properties. And just to say that people talk about good landlords and bad landlords, but in my view, a good landlord is so is really under a terrible situation in relation if tenants don't pay or if they leave an apartment in a bad state or whatever else.
Now, remember, just in fairness to Robert Troy, he said he did do everything correct as regards RTB and Dublin City Council and planning permissions, A or nay. He said he does fire safety. He did all the correct. The incorrect issue involved his role as a TD and declaration of same. He didn't do anything illegal as such.
Right.
Okay, well, I know you're not saying
I'm ringing because of the whole role of the RTB. I had a situation a number of years ago. As I say, I have just one property, and I've had very good tenants over the years, and I've had some very bad tenants over the years. Anybody who's been a good tenant has always considered me to be an excellent landlord. So, I've no issues there. However, I had a situation where I had tenants in, two guys. They weren't paying the rent fully, but they kept promising this, that, and the other. As time went on, things were getting worse. I eventually came to the point where I just couldn't continue on anymore, so I gave them the appropriate notice and all that sort of stuff. So we ended up going through the PRTB, the adjudication, all that sort of stuff. The PRTB, which was PRTB at the time, found in my favour. They made a judgment, the whole lot. And I never got a penny out of it. There was arrears and there was payment for damaged property and everything. I got nothing because these guys couldn't be found. The sheriff, the papers were handed over to the sheriff or different people, but these guys, were able to avoid being given to it. So to be honest, I understand people... You haven't a leg to stand on if you're a good landlord, to be perfectly honest.
But there are, as Breed will stay there, Georgina, please.
Yes.
As Breed wants to point out, there are bad landlords, Breed.
Oh, indeed.
Breed, Breed, you're the parent of a renter. Yes, go ahead, Breed.
Hi, Joe, how are you? So taking up on what your last caller was saying there, I had this situation, the exact opposite, went through all the mediation with the tenancy board, to try and get a deposit back, and got nowhere because they say they can't contact the landlord.
The landlord's gone AWOL.
Yes. He returns their post unopened.
Wow.
And if they can't contact him, they can't go ahead without his presence.
Okay.
And after 10 months now, they've just told my daughter there's nothing they can do for her at this time.
But can I make a suggestion there, Joe?
Yes, sure. Is that Georgina?
I mean, as we just speak here, and I'm speaking from one side, and this lady is speaking, and I can understand completely that terrible situation. But I know the PRTB knows where I am. They have my address and everything else.
Yeah, that's right, Todd. They have your tax details.
They have everything.
Have they got your PPS number?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I can't understand why, again, the RTB don't hold these deposits. I inquired about that recently, and I still don't think they're doing it. But they should be holding deposits, and also they should have funds available so that they pay out when something like this goes wrong, so that people then have a lot more trust in the system. The system doesn't work for anybody, in my view.
Yeah, definitely. You'd have to ask what the role of the tenancy board actually is, because they don't seem to be serving anybody.
Correct.
I think it should be disbanded, and somebody with a brain in their head should set up something that should work for tenants. It's not working for anybody.
Okay.
It really is. It was never fit for purpose when it was a PRTB. It's now RTB, and it's probably worse at this stage.
Okay.
We have no faith in it.
And what do you think of what Robert Troy said when I left school? He obviously left school early. And I was able to buy I bought a first house when he was 20. Now, the reaction to that has been snorts and sneering. Wasn't it well for you that you could buy your house at 20? It couldn't happen today.
And when was that, Joe? I presume
it's 20 years ago.
I think things were a bit easier for people to get loans and people in good jobs, or not necessarily even in good jobs, people that could show a good income. In their early 20s, could have bought then. Unfortunately, it's very sad for a young, very educated workforce that we have, cannot buy their homes.
Yeah.
Like the one that I sold a month ago in the block where I have the difficulty, that's been sold to a couple. It's now a family home. It's gone into the rental market. The next one, when I go to sell it, probably will be bought, because all my stuff is quite on the north side and more affordable. And I think a lot of them could be sold to a family home.
Okay.
It's still affordable.
Yeah. Okay, Joe at RT.ie, back after this. Thank
Talk
you.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Peter Dooley is from the Dublin Renters Union. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe. I'm just sort of, I caught the last sort of 15 minutes of the conversation. Yeah. I'm hearing about a few landlords talking about how difficult it is. And I'm just sort of sick to sort of my back teeth of hearing these stories of landlords suffering, because it's renters that are really suffering and people are suffering. Because
and you haven't heard, did you listen to Liveline yesterday?
I didn't listen to Liveline yesterday.
You would have heard renters suffering yesterday, so don't be... Both sides are there, Peter, don't worry. Go ahead. Address the issue anyway.
Well, the issue is that it sounds to successive government policies that have pushed people into the private rental market. Like, that's the real issue. Like, they've sold off our council housing stock. Now they're in, a lot of the council housing stock is in the hands of private landlords who are renting houses, for instance, in estates like Crumlin. I'm sure you're aware of Ballyferm and other estates where tenants are paying over $2,000, $2,500 a month to rent these houses. And a lot of these landlords are getting public money through HAP subsidies to provide homes for people. The government, again, haven't built public housing. They don't offer security to tenants. Like, so many tenants now currently are coming to us that are being evicted because the landlord is claiming to sell the property. The previous Oireachtas, back in 2018, Joe, an all-party Oireachtas committee agreed that vacant possession would not be used as a reason to evict. And now it's happening hand over fist, where property prices are going through the roof and a lot of landlords are now deciding to sell and leaving tenants, essentially forcing tenants into homelessness. And we've seen the homeless figures rising. We've seen at the circus end, 115 people.
So what would you, we know all this, Peter. Unfortunately, we know it. And it's right that we should know it. But what are you proposing?
I'm proposing that it should be long-term security for tenants. I'm thinking that the state should step in and immediately call for a ban on evictions in terms of people being...
But isn't that one of the reasons why landlords are getting out of it? Why rent out a property? I'm putting their side now. Why rent out a property when if the tenant doesn't pay, they can't be evicted?
Well, this is about tenants, for instance, who are paying their rent, for instance.
No. Tenants who are paying their rent, there's no issue. Do you believe a tenant who doesn't pay their rent should be evicted?
Well, tenants obviously should pay their rent. Like, you know,
no,
the
do
rent
you believe they should
it.
Be? Do you believe that landlords should have the right to evict tenants who don't pay the rent?
Well, just the rents are absolutely extortionate at the moment.
No, you didn't. Why won't you answer my question?
In Dublin, the rents are over €2,000 per month.
Yeah, I know that, but how are you going? What's happening at the minute is landlords are fleeing the market. How are you going to get them back in? No, as you've heard them say, I'm not obliged to buy a house and rent it out. No one's obliged to do it. But as one landlord said, I thought I was doing good.
As I said to you earlier, hang on, in 2018, as I said, the previous Dáil, all-party Oireachtas committee agreed that vacant possession would not be used, and then the Dáil subsequently fell, and now that has been forgotten about. This should be put to the top of the political agenda, because the state should step in, for instance, if the landlord wants to sell or in financial difficulty or whatever their issue is, the state should step in and make sure nobody is evicted. Like, a commercial property can sell, a building can sell anywhere throughout the city or throughout the state,
Do you not realise when you say this, and a number of political parties, one in particular says this, no tenant should be evicted, that just turns people off.
No, well, like, you have to look at the individual circumstances of people. Like, obviously, everybody has to pay a fair rent for where they're living. Like,
you're saying,
I'm not advocating nobody pays any rent. Like,
but you're saying if people don't pay rent, there's no sanction.
No, there is a sanction.
What's the sanction?
There's a recourse, for instance, through evictions, which the RTB, and I disagree with the landlords who have come on and say the RTB is pro-tenant.
Why do you disagree? They're giving their opinion. You can't disagree. Are you telling me there's a big conspiracy today to tell lies?
I'll tell you the facts, Joe. The facts are...
The facts as you see them.
These are the facts. The facts are there's no tenants' representatives on the RTB. If we need an independent rental board, there's landlords and landlords' agents, estate agents who represent or on the RTB. The legislation, we know in the Oireachtas, there's 80 TDs and senators who are TDs. How many renters are in the Oireachtas? Probably one, maybe two, if even that. So it's totally unbalanced. Like,
okay.
Tenants in Irish society have always been second-class citizens.
Okay, should somebody... who has rent-out property, should they be allowed to stand for the Dáil?
Well, I, I think they should recuse themselves from votes on issues that pertain to policies, for instance. Like, so if, for instance, Robert Roy or any other landlord at all should recuse themselves from that, it should be part of it, it's a conflict of interest.
There's no facility in the Irish Constitution for a TD to recuse himself from a vote.
For me, for instance, they're materially benefiting from policies they're enacting. So if you're a legislator and you're going to be a massive landlord, for instance, there's a lot of huge landlords, obviously, in the Dáil. And we know most recently, obviously, the incidents with Robert Roy, we were aware of, where he's benefited from state, for instance, contracts and stuff. But on a serious note...
But hang on, Peter, just to be clear here now. Robert, anyone, there's loads of people on saying, and you mentioned HAP there. So that's what you mean, that
yes,
Robert Roy.
Yes, absolutely, from public money.
But that is not illegal.
The billion euro
that's spent on HAP every year is a decision by the government to try and help people get housing. It's an awful lot of
and
money.
As I said, there's 80 in the Oireachtas, and the tax, 80 landlords in the Oireachtas.
So what should
and
be done?
Transferring public money into private hands.
So there shouldn't
where
be.
It could be used so to build public housing.
There shouldn't be a HAP scheme.
It should be diverted into public housing, like for sustainable
solutions overnight. Just throw everyone out who's on the HAP scheme and say.
I didn't say overnight. I said over time you do that. You move people into public housing, where
are these people to build the houses? Can you build a house?
There's enough state land currently to build 115,000 homes.
If we have the builders.
Can you build a house?
Peter, can you build a house?
For a person, it can help. And when you do things, I'm not a tradesman.
I'm not a qualified tradesman. All of the spokespeople you heard, the interest groups, not one of them has ever asked, could you put a nail in a wall? I couldn't. If I was looking for a water pipe, I would put a nail in the wall because I invariably hit the water pipe. But we need people to build the houses.
Oh, absolutely.
We need people to build them.
Let's go for the
prefabricated houses, and then you get into another debate. I'm not living in. We shouldn't be letting people live in prefab.
This is a bigger issue about a social good in society. What really should be a social good? Like a home should be a social good in society.
That includes, Joe,
employing people in local councils and giving trades to young people in terms of apprenticeships and get them employed to work and live in their local communities. It's quite simple. We've done it before in the 50s, 60s. Why can't we do it again? Like, it's not reinventing the wheel.
But don't get rose-tinted eyes now about the likes of Ballyfermot and that. Ballyfermot was overcrowded. The roads, if you tripped coming out your gate, you would land on the gate of the road, the house opposite you. The roads were so narrow. There was no shops, no schools. So let's not get rose-tinted about build Ballyfermot again.
The issue is you need proper services built with areas as well, for instance. You need proper public services.
Well, the people I find, not you, Peter, getting misty-eyed about, rebuild Ballyfermot have never lived. In fact, they lived in the opposite end of the Dublin South regime. They never lived in the likes of Ballyfermot, but they would get misty-eyed about it.
I doubt if they've ever visited. Show, and I know, like, I live quite close to, for instance, Crumlin as well, and all my best friends from that area and stuff as well. So, I know it intimately. And the thing is that so many people who live in that area can't live and afford to live there anymore because all the council houses have been sold off. Joe, for instance, you see now the council house, for instance, in the tenant purchase scheme has emanated essentially from the foundation of the state, and it's sold off nearly over. I think about 70%, 60 to 70% of our total council housing stock. Like, it's illogical that you build something for the social good and then you sell it off, and now it's in the hands now of private landlords and benefiting then from public money in the HAP scheme. Like, it's economically illiterate, to be honest with you. And the government who pronounce themselves to be, say, financially prudent, they're doing something which is absolutely totally illogical and nonsensical, and actually and destroying people's lives in the process. Like, you know what, I think we've been always calling for an end to the tenant purchase scheme and to keep public housing in public hands. That's where it would be seen as a social good in society for everyone, Joe, like, you know, not just for people to profit off. Like, we have to get back to basics in society, and if it's a civilized society we live in, deal as a people
so
with respect
people who got a house in Ballyfermot in 1956 or whatever, they should never have been allowed to buy their house after they paid rent for 40, 50 years. That's what you're saying.
The issue is that a lot of the issue. I'm asking Peter. That is the issue. The privatisation of our housing stock. I agree. The housing stock should never have been sold off.
the people who bought their rented in Ballyferm from, they came out from the inner city, the tenements, they paid rent for 40, 50 years, and Gareth Fitzgerald introduced a rent to buy a purchase scheme. You think they should never, people in Ballyferm should never be allowed to buy their houses?
Joe, because you said who introduced it? You said Gareth Fitzgerald. Who's that, a Fine Gael leader?
Who's currently
the biggest landlords in the Dáil? Fine Gael. Who wants to get people part of a system that favours the wealthy in society?
That's what it boils down to. I knew we'll come back to that. But anyway, there we are. Thanks indeed, Peter. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Tomorrow from 1:40, well, the doors are opening at 12 noon, high noon, in the Fate Lake Hotel, just beyond Waterford City. In fact, you can get the ferry across from Wexford, from Ballyhack to Passage East. It's only 10 minutes from there. And you're all welcome. Lots of giveaways, lots of fun. And it's a beautiful location, by the way. And promises to be a beautiful afternoon. Good evening, Lamog. It's Longafall. Shane Galvin's the BCO. Tommy O'Sullivan's on sound. Lisa Marie Berry's the producer. And Catherine Thomas is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.